Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Coding's Pro Magazine's COVID-19 podcast series. My name is Stephanie Chizik, and I'm editor-in-chief of Coding's Pro. With us today is Tats Nakagawa, COO at Castagra. Tats also hosts a podcast called Specified, Building Materials and Coding's Growth, which now has 81 episodes. Castagra, co-founded by Tats, developed a green roof coating. Tats and I are recording this interview on Wednesday, April 22nd, so please be sure to check back for updates and follow the guidance of health professionals such as the Centers for Disease Control. So Tats, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You're doing a very good thing but with these updates. I've been following along.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we just felt like in a very time-sensitive time to... it's a really good time to start sending out these types of materials. You know, we're obviously, we want to put out as much content as we can and thought it would be helpful for our readers. So thanks for saying that. And we're happy to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very so grateful. Everyone's been so open and sort of caring and sharing. So I'm very proud of being part of this community.
Yes. So can you give our listeners maybe a little bit of your background? I know I hit some of the high notes, but let us know who we're talking to.
Sure. My background is in marketing, launching different products. We started our company 10 years ago based on a technology that my partner invented 30 years ago. And we've been part of a lot of different industries over the year, just trying to figure out our place. We've settled in on roofing, and we do flooring primarily in North America. We do have customers outside, but our focus is in North America.
And you mentioned the roofing part. I mean, I think that from what I understand, there have been a lot of interesting developments, at least with who's considered essential and not, with the COVID-19 pandemic in the roofing industry in particular. Have you heard anything from the field as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, in most jurisdictions, at the current time, roofers are deemed essential. Obviously, it's a changing situation where some situations do sort of alter, but for the most part, from our operation standpoint, our customers' standpoint, they have been able to sort of complete their projects and do their business the best that they could.
Yeah, have you heard anything from any of your clients in the field then who are working right now on any challenges or even maybe positives that have kind of come out of this experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall positive, whenever you're faced with the big challenges, is the amount of innovation and forward thinking that you see out in the field and with ourselves and our counterparts as well. I think being forced to work remote and sort of think through using new technologies that not necessarily would have been adopted so readily in the past is inspiring. I mean, we're primarily fairly technology based. We've always liked that to a point where sometimes I find it's a little embarrassing that we were so digital and so remote on certain things. But now it seems to be kind of the norm. But the adoption rate that I see. Companies in the past that maybe took a rap of being a little bit more sort of older school, when sort of push comes to shove, seeing them respond so proactively, it for my part been very inspiring watching them execute.
Yeah, I do think you kind of hit the nail on the head as far as what I'm seeing is that the companies related to construction or not that are able to adapt to the new experiences and environments, I guess, digitally or remotely, are probably going to do much better in the long run just because of that quick change and the thinking on your feet sort of goal that they've been able to have. Do you see anything as far as from Castagra? I mean, I know you guys are based out of Nevada, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Anything locally over there that's going on as far as, how things have changed in the last couple of weeks?
Nevada, you know, for us, Arizona, Colorado, it's fairly straightforward in those states at this point. We haven't noticed that much change. Of course, everyone's taking appropriate health and safety measures, right? Social distancing practices. So, you know, we haven't seen any, you know, issues and things that we should be concerned about. But, you know, we have to be very diligent, right? Because things can change very quickly, right? So we're always paying attention to, you know, credible outlets like, you know, yourself, NACE, and other organizations, listening to you know, the right type of information. Because, you know, there's a lot of information out there that sort of contradicts each other. And you just kind of have to sort of, you know, pick and choose what you're going to focus on. And we've really sort of figured out what those sources are for us. And we try to stay close to it. And also, I mean, try to figure out, you know, what we can control and what we can't control, right? I mean, there's a million things that could be coming around the corner that could be an issue for us. But just not to focus on those things, just really focus on things that we have control over and not try to get overloaded by all the things that you could possibly do to sort of prepare in the future. And sort of, you know, because when you carry too much on with you get sort of task overload. I remember, you know, it's not a great comparison, but in 2008, our company was heavily in oil and gas. We had most of our clients in oil and gas. And I remember in a span of months, we lost 80% of our clients.
Oh, wow.
And it was shocking for us. And I remember sitting there at my desk thinking, how are we gonna get through this? And just all the things sort of flash into your head, like we work so hard, you know, and then just, you know, the feeling gets overwhelming. And I called a mentor of mine that was very, very experienced in going through stuff like this. And I remember he told me something very, very simple, but it made sense because we're all trying to get advice on what we should do, right? Because even though our company is, you know, not as affected, we're all connected in some way. So in some way, shape, and form, we're all going to be affected. And he told me that, well, what you need to do is figure out what the most important thing you have to do, the next most important thing you have to do. And then you go and you do it. And then once you do it, then you find the next most important thing you have to do after that. And I thought it was really good because we tend to think, okay, we're so busy, like there's so many things happening. Let's do so many things. Let's cram so many things in your day. And then when you look up, you realize that, well, yeah, I'm working at home and then I'm not seeing my kids, right? And like I'm supposed to be at home to just sort of kind of balance it out, realize that this is going to be a marathon for us, not a sprint, and that we have to maintain sort of a healthy perspective with your own selves, and then also to make sure that the team and everyone knows to stay calm and that, you know, we just have to view this as an ongoing situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are some really good tips. I also feel like, you know, like you said, we're all in it, and to me that brings a little bit of comfort as well. You know, just because you're going through a hard day doesn't mean that the next guy isn't too, or we can lift each other up or commiserate. You know, this is definitely a very unique situation where everyone is going to be affected in some capacity. So this is so interesting.
Yeah, I saw an interesting thing that someone was saying as well, is that, you know, everyone's switching to doing online stuff, right? And some people know are very familiar with it, some people not. And then, you know, you look up at your social media stuff and you see a lot of direct messages and people trying to sell you stuff, or they're trying to do all these things. And then, you know, maybe an instant reaction, maybe to be a little annoyed at that, but then to think through what the other person must be going through, right? Trying to figure out their situation and to be more sort of empathetic for what people are doing, because they're all figuring things out, failing and growing, to sort of take something that maybe it's like, oh, why are they sort of being so pushy, to kind of being a little bit more kind. I saw that advice out there. I thought that was really fitting.
I think that the opposite end of that is also probably really helpful potentially for our contractors too, where, like you said, we're all just trying to figure it out. This is unprecedented. So try something out. If it doesn't work, then, be agile and try something else out until you figure out what does work for you.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of virtual training. We've been doing a lot of virtual inspections. We've been coaching as much as we could our team, our contractors, clients, whoever we can help out, because we love technology, that sort of to make their life better in any way, right? So we've really made it a goal to try to do whatever we can, and then also, ask for help too for things that we may not be good at. And I think in these situations, we all have a common goal, right? People are less sort of back and forth on who's doing what or if they're with our company or not. Or I think coming together as an industry, as a people, and trying to figure out how we can help each other in any way possible is just the only way to go about it, I think.
You guys have done such an amazing job. I mean, you already had been kind of working in the digital space from what I saw on social media, but you've, like I said, you've done the podcast now for a while, and I saw on LinkedIn you're putting out a lot of Tats Talks, which is really helpful, kind of even just thought-provoking. So, I mean, I really commend you guys for doing such a good job and being such good partners with all of your customers and even with us. You're the one who reached out to me and said, "How can we help?" So, I mean, it's just such a huge help for the industry. It's great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, thank you for your leadership as well. I've been following very closely on how you guys are approaching things, and I've always admired your approach.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're doing what we can. So obviously you've mentioned a few things, moving virtually or trying things on the digital side. Do you have any sort of predictions about what these short-term changes could maybe mean for our industry in the long term?
Well, I think the acceptance of virtual training, virtual inspections, the efficiency driven out of being able to do things less face to face when appropriate. I mean, obviously, you cannot emulate the relationship you can develop by being face to face, but being able to sort of augment that appropriately, I think the industry is going to sort of take that on and sort of use that efficiency to drive sort of speed of innovation, and also to be able to service customers better and to sort of adapt to change, right? Because who says that these sort of things aren't going to happen in the future, right? So I think that's what's going to be on people's mind, and they're going to want to be more flexible. They want to have to they're going to figure out better ways to collaborate. I've seen tons of different ways that people are figuring out ways to interact better online. The rise of personal brands as it relates to collaboration and also the sales process, I think those are going to accelerate. And I think there's a bunch of bad things happen, but I think there will be a lot of positives to take out of it in terms of quality of life improvement and just industry growth and knowledge.
I also do think that, at least personally, this has kind of forced me not only to slow down and to be mindful, but also to look for those positive linings, which is not a practice I always have had, but in this sort of situation, it kind of feels like, okay, I need to find a positive today. So what is that positive going to be? So it's, I wonder if that'll help people sort of tailor their decisions moving forward as well to find those silver linings. Yeah, that's a good point. You mentioned the virtual inspections. Can you walk us through that a little bit? I'm just curious as to what does that entail? How does that work? I'm assuming you mean mostly with roofing projects potentially.
Yeah, roofing projects. We look at videos. We took photos. Obviously, there's limitations to virtual inspections. I mean, we don't use VR equipment. I know some people are experimenting. They have some of that. They're starting to do that. So I think sort of an increase in that will come about. But at this point, we're relying on certain types of contractors that we trust that could, you know, when they're walking on the roof, they understand the structural elements of the roof, so they can provide us feedback on that. But then we can look at drone footage. We can look at photographs, videos, you know, FaceTime things to really figure out and to be a service to our customers. So we can be very responsive so that we don't slow down any of their projects just because we can't get someone there on site to review the project, whether it's a warranty that needs to be issued or a recommendation that needs to be made. So I've seen that a little bit in sort of the construction side as well, but it's something that we were talking about doing for about 6 to 8 months, and we were kind of inching towards it. We figured it was going to take us 2 to 3 years to really go in that direction, but because of these changes, we fast-tracked it, and so far, so good. I'm sure there's a lot of innovation that's going to come as an industry in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also feel like there's, you know, it's not the end all be all, of course, like you said, but it has to have a bit of an improvement as far as safety goes, that you know, if you don't have to put someone on the roof necessarily, then maybe we can keep them off the roof, you know. It's definitely always consideration, at least in our part of the world, of what can we do safer to help the contractor at the end of the day. So you also mentioned, obviously, innovations. I know you co-authored the book Overcoming Inventoryitis. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Inventoryitis. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just hard to say. It's inventor syndrome, if you want to think about it.
Gotcha. What's that all about? Could you give us a brief kind of overview of that book?
Sure. High level, we were working on a project where it was a consumer product, and we were launching it, and we got, you know, long story short, we sold 1 million units and we're doing well. And we kind of wanted to take it to the next level, but, you know, we had a minority stake in the business, and the inventor wanted to go a certain way, and we just couldn't convince them to do it in a more, I don't know, in a more sort of commercial way. I don't know. It's just, but we were frustrated because he was so attached to his product, rightfully so, but we couldn't understand what that was. And we came up with the word inventoritis, you know, people falling in love with their product. And we start to explore that more and understand, you know, what is a healthy attachment to innovation, right? You know, how do you, you know, sort of focus on the goal of innovation is to make people's lives better, and then it not becoming part of your identity. And we start to really explore that. So out of frustration, we wrote a whole book on it. Now, you know, honestly, for us, I think we missed a few things. I mean, it was a while ago when we wrote a book, but, you know, we focused on the technology and not falling in love with the technology. But the key thing that we missed that we didn't write about is that, well, what do you fall in love with, right? Well, you fall in love with the people that are doing it, right? The purpose, that's what you have to fall in love with. So we didn't get that aspect in the book, but I think the first aspect is whenever you're trying to get new ideas to the market, you have to make sure that you're not sort of unhealthy or attached to your idea in a very unhealthy way. And one of the tests the easy test that I like to mention that I got from the direct response world is, imagine you have an idea and you go, it's 3 a.m. You go to one of your customers or prospect's door and you kick the door down. You're so excited. You run upstairs, you run into their bedroom. I know it's a little creepy. and then you grab them and you shake them. You say, I have this great idea. I want to tell you about it. And then they're so tired, they're kind of groggy, and they're half awake. And then you go, blah, and you tell them your idea. Now, one of two things is going to happen. The first thing that could happen is they listen to your idea and they go back to sleep. Or they could get excited and then just get, you know, jump up and down with your idea. So you really have to visualize that whole sequence and really be honest with yourself. How good is your idea? Have you just fallen in love with your idea just because, you know, you think that's clever and that you're giving yourself a nice pat on your back? Or is there really something that's valuable that's going to make, you know, the world better and the lives of your clients or your team members better? And the idea doesn't necessarily have to come from yourself. It can come from anywhere. So, you know, to sort of, you know, practice humility and then distance yourself from the idea for a second and look at it carefully is kind of an important factor in innovation. I think a lot of companies try to achieve it. You know, like I think for a while, I think the company was the TNG. They had the proudly not invented here kind of slogan going, but that's what we all aspire to as a company is that, you know, just because, you know, we didn't come up with it, it doesn't mean that we can't talk about it, you know, and promote it, you know, whether it's another company or it's a rival or anything, it doesn't matter. I think that we have to get to a place where we promote the best ideas. And especially in a client like we are today, the best ideas have to come out. Because that's the only way we're gonna make it out of this and thrive. So those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I love that visual. And I think the idea of, you know, collaboration and the humility are probably really useful right now too. That's great. I love that. Something we're pretty familiar with that, at least on the publication side too. A lot of people who write articles, not necessarily for us, but just in general, you know, you're in love with a specific phrase or sentence, and if it gets cut, they have a hard time with that. So it's, you know, it's it's an interesting concept for sure. Yeah. Awesome. Any other opportunities you can think of that our readers should know about, virtually or otherwise? You know, there's obviously a lot of opportunities, and potentially people have time on their hands, of course, and there are a lot of contractors who, you know, are probably busier than ever right now trying to bang those projects out. But any ideas as far as you can think of that you might want to share?
Well, I think an idea or something that we'd definitely like to offer is, you know, for myself personally or anyone in our company, we're always willing to see how we can help. So if there's any way that any of your listeners, regardless if they're affiliated with their company or not, it really does not matter. Feel free to reach out for us. You know, happy to help out however we can. And also happy to also take suggestions, like you said, on the podcast. If there's any guests or anyone that we should cover that, you know, that has a story that we need to get out there, that, you know, that has sort of that sort of innovation, entrepreneurial spirit attached to it, I'm open to feedback as well. Just again, reiterate, love what you guys are doing. I love what a lot of the associations are doing. I love how people are stepping up to help, you know, whether it's, you know, traditionally a competitor or not. I sort of applaud that. So I'm inspired by that. And, you know, for us, we want to do whatever we can to contribute and help along.
That's awesome. Where can people find you or find the company in general if they want to reach out?
Sure. Castagra.com. If you provide links to that, I guess, or just through, you know, any of my social media stuff that I'm involved in, feel free to connect, send me a note. You know, any sort of genuine request to connect, I'll be happy and open to respond. So, feel free.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tats. I appreciate it. Hopefully, get to see you sometime soon in the near future and talk to you at least another time and maybe in a better situation, but we are all making the best of it that we can. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thanks again to Tats Nakagawa, COO at Castagra. We really appreciate everyone's time and effort to share all this great information with our readers. Tats certainly had some great tips to share about things that we could do now as far as looking to the digital scope, as well as reaching out to him and his company for potential collaboration or help where they could offer it. They're doing some great things, especially over on LinkedIn. So go check that out. As always, check back on the Codings Pro website for more podcasts in this series. It's www.codingspromag.com. Be sure to reach out to us and connect on all of our social areas. That's at Codings Pro Mag as well. And hopefully everyone is staying happy, safe, and healthy in these times, and in all times moving forward for that matter. So as always, happy coding.